It's 107.7 The Bone, Baby Huey, along with Chasta.
Hey, hey.
And Chasta, we've been looking forward to this for a very long time.
I am beyond excited.
I know. You and I are both excited because, first off, not to toot our own horn, but, you know, we're the younger ones at the radio station. we like to stay up with all the current active rock bands.
Right.
And so when we found that we had a chance to interview this person, you and I both
geeked out
and jumped all over it.
Yeah.
We have Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm on the line. How's it going?
Yeah. I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So first things first, let's plug Hailstorm's coming to the Bay Area, the Jägermeister Music Tour, which features Hailstorm. It's going to be playing the Regency Ballroom in downtown San Francisco Monday, October 19th. Get your tickets now, theregencyballroom.com. Also, AXS.com. That's AXS. Wait, did I say it right?
Yeah, AXS. Uh-huh.
Yeah, AXS.com. And so you and I, Chas, are going to be there. We're so excited.
Oh, yeah.
For me, personally, it's going to be my first time seeing you guys.
I think this will be my fourth or fifth time. I've seen you, like, every time I can get to you, Lizzie, I'm there.
Oh, thank you so much, Caroline. You know, and this is actually a good time to see us because this tour is really different. It's all us all the time. We don't have any other bands with us, and we basically, you know, do whatever the hell we want. And
wow, that's interesting. We were wondering if you guys had an opener. So you don't have an opener?
No, but just all Hailstorm all the time.
It's
fun. We've been calling it a wild evening with Hailstorm, and it's really interesting. We've dabbled in this type of show before, just like on and off, and just really enjoyed just the freedom that you have with it. I mean, I guess we're in a position right now where we have, you know, three albums under our belt and a couple EPs, so we have a lot of stuff to get through. But we've just been having such a good time just, like, throwing in some stuff we don't even know, and, you know, I'm forgetting my own lyrics all over the place. It's amazing. It's just a good time.
That's funny. I was going to bring up, so it looks like you kind of throw in covers whenever you want. I was watching online. You do a great cover of Girl Crush from Little Big Town, which is apropos, because you are, I told my husband last night, I said, we're interviewing Lizzie Hale, and he goes, holy crap, honey, like, that's your girl crush. You would leave me for her. And I'm like, yeah, I would definitely consider it. You and Juliette Lewis in the rock world are like my girls.
I got to agree with you on Juliette Lewis. She's awesome.
Oh, my God. She's so rad. But I found it really cool that you picked a country song like that, like, and you cover it in the rock world.
Well, you know, it's funny. We had the opportunity to listen to that record before it was released, the Little Big Town record. And there's so much on that record that really doesn't necessarily remind me of country. It reminds me of a lot of classic rock, more Fleetwood Mac, I would say.
That's exactly what I just said to Baby Huey. We were talking about this, and I said they're like the Fleetwood Mac currently of country.
They are, but it's interesting, and they're such nice people. You know, we got the opportunity to meet them, and to be honest, that performance that we did on Sirius, we had just learned that song like a couple minutes before there.
Wow.
So we were a little like, I hope we can pull this off, but it's such a good song. It just kind of performs itself, and I'm pretty sure it probably wrote itself too. So
yeah.
It's good. That's kind of been our philosophy.
Yeah, we agree with that for sure.
So Lizzie, just curious, where are you calling us from right now?
I am in not so sunny Ohio, Warren, Ohio, actually.
Really? Why way out there?
Is it
the tour hasn't started yet, right?
Oh no, it's been going.
Okay.
We're about I want to say a few weeks in, maybe 2-3 weeks.
Okay.
Time does fly, though.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, because Chas and I were both talking. You just got back from Brazil, right? The Rock in Rio.
Oh yeah, that was smack dab in the middle of this tour, which is funny because we moved some stuff around because I mean we got the offer for Rock in Rio. Like, oh man, what? Look, you know, everything could end tomorrow. We have to figure out a way to do this.
Absolutely.
So we had such a ball, and so we just got back from Rio. We're still a little. Last night I had a pretty decent sleep. So that's been the first since our trip to Rio. So
I saw you at Rock and Rio. You were on stage with Hollywood Vampires, which is, you know, none other than, I mean, great music industry legends, but also Hollywood legends. Johnny Depp, you were on stage with Johnny frickin' Depp. Did your head almost explode?
Oh, definitely. Dude, I got hugged by Johnny Depp.
I can't. I mean, seriously.
Awesome. My mother's so jealous. It was such a trip, man. It was because we had rehearsals the day before the performance, And, you know, it's like, I've sung with a decent amount of people, mm-hmm. and, you know, I've met a lot of people, mm-hmm. and so I'm trying to, like, look myself in the mirror and be like, you know, I can hang, it's cool, I can hang with you guys. And then, you walk up and you're freaking out inside because, like, all of a sudden, like, they're all coming up to you, and like, hey, how you doing? And, you know, you get a hug from Johnny Depp.
And Alice Cooper and Joe Perry.
Duff McKagan, Matt Thor, like, it's just rock and roll legends. And then they're such sweethearts. They, like, put everything at ease. They're like, look, we're just a bar band, man.
Oh, my God.
It's chaos. It's complete chaos. There's, like, four guitar players going on stage. We're all just going to take a section and just go with it. I'm like, okay. Let's do that. So it was awesome. But I'm telling you that what an honor, and the 14-year-old in me screaming the entire time. What a cool thing.
I was gonna say, were you able to take like a souvenir off Johnny Depp, like maybe one of his scars or something like that?
Yeah, right. Just had a little pair of scissors, like snip a little bit of his hair. You know, yeah.
Nice. That's awesome. But also, we
super
just
stalkery.
Yeah, right. Super stalker.
Well, definitely, Chas and I want to give you a big kudos. Your third album, Into the Wildlife, back when it came out in April, it reached number 5 on the Billboard Top 200. So
it's major.
Yeah, that's a huge accomplishment. I mean, for a rock band in today's world. So, I mean, for you guys, was that something you get still excited for as a band?
We get so excited, but we also, it's kind of like always a bit of a relief because mm-hmm. we get so pumped to make music together. And this record we did very differently. We kind of took a big risk on this one. And,
yeah.
Just the way that we recorded it. And then we did it with a completely different producer, we did it in Nashville. We were recording in a church that was made into a recording studio.
Oh, that was on Sonic Highways. That was Dave Grohl talked about that studio on his show Sonic Highways. Great studio.
It's really cool, man. Yeah. And so we're just like in this congregation, and then we decided to record it, all of these songs, as a performance live, just the four of us together, standing in a circle. So like all the basic tracks are literally us performing these songs. Because we didn't want to do a live record, but we wanted to kind of capture some of that mm-hmm. human element, and instead of erring on the side of perfection, err on the side of moments, making moments. So anyway, when we finished it, we loved it so much, but then we're like, oh no, now we got to like release it to the world and see what they think, you know? And so, and it could either go great or not, you know, that's really there's only two ways about it.
Yeah.
So we were very, very, like, relieved and excited that it's being received very well.
Well, I think rock is Baby Huey and I have talked a lot about this every time we drink together, for sure. We talk about the state of rock right now. And it's kind of an interesting place. I don't know if you've kept up with the conversations that Slayer's Kerry King and Gene Simmons had. But Kerry King, basically in a nutshell, said that most of the new bands out there don't grab him. He said that if he was watching them on stage, that they wouldn't make him want to be a rock star. And Gene Simmons sort of chimed in about that. How does that make you feel?
You know, I've always had the same opinion of rock and roll. And it's kind of, to me, it's reflective of all the personalities that get into rock and roll. Because mm-hmm. we're all dorks, okay? But the only reason that we might be considered cool is because of rock and roll. But here's the thing, it never goes away. You know, it's the only genre, you know, that maybe it's not necessarily the most popular all the time. It does have its moments, you know. 80s, it definitely had its moments. It was part of the popular mm-hmm. music chain, you know. For heaven's sake, AC/DC is a freaking pop band, you know?
Right.
So it to me, it never goes away. And the bottom line for me, and maybe it's because I have tunnel vision and I tour my butt off all the time, but these people that come out and see the live shows, for whatever reason, they're giving up their rent money to buy tickets, you know, and come and see a rock show. To me, that's very powerful. So I agree that maybe it dips in and out of, like, you know, popular on radio and everything, but it's nowhere near dead. So, I mean, I have two different opinions for you know, Gene Simmons. I understand he's a businessman,
right?
So
yeah.
Maybe in the business aspect, it's not necessarily in the best interest of people that want to make millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
you know, to get into rock and roll, but that was never the reason that any of us got into it in the first place. So to me, that's awesome. That's not even a great statement to live off of.
That's great.
Well, to me, rock is like a cockroach. It can never kill or go away. That's how
I never going to die.
We are the cockroaches of music.
Yes, that's right. The other thing is, you know, Chas and I were talking about it. One thing that why we're excited talking to you is we really think you're the face of active rock, new rock, hard rock, metal, all that stuff. So first off, do you feel like, you're welcome. Do you feel a lot of pressure, though, trying to maintain that image?
You know what? It's funny. I'm going to tell you this weird epiphany that I recently just had.
Yeah.
Because, I'll back up for a second, but, you know, I started this band when I was 13. Mm-hmm. I've been in this band more than I've not been in this band, you know, and in my lifetime. And so I don't know, you don't necessarily plan on A, being an influence, B, being a role model. We have a lot of kids that come to our shows now, and it's super cool. But what I've realized is that instead of trying so hard to be that and be the perfect role model, I mean, that the more that I am completely out there and honest with everybody, and I try to do this in a bunch of different outlets. I started a Tumblr blog, and I do this kind of screwed up Dear Abby thing on Hard Drive Radio.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it's like I do all these weird things, and I try to keep myself connected because I realize that people, for whatever reason, I'm getting more positive by just being myself than if I was trying to be somebody that I think that they want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's been really neat to see that and be in that position. I'm in a very lucky and rare position to, you know, be able to talk to people and to be able to touch them in a certain way, and I feel very humbled by that.
And obviously you're a badass chick, and that's why not only guys love you, but you've got a huge female audience, and most females have a girl crush on you. But does it bother you that people focus so much on you being a female in the rock genre and not just a rock star in your own right? Does that bother you, or do you like that?
You know, it's never really bothered me because bottom line, and again, I haven't grown up much, and I've kind of stuck to my same rules. But bottom line is that if I don't have anything to back up the fact that I'm a chick, you know, or back up the fact that I actually still do like to wear short skirts and high heels,
yeah,
then none of that matters, you know? So I do work very hard to make sure that I am constantly learning, you know, learning and relearning my instruments, my voice and guitar and piano, and because, you know, you got to be able to bring it, you know what I mean? And I'm not saying that it's absolutely 100% every night that's rock and roll, but I don't know. I feel like there's this misconception, and I'm going to take it one further, and I hope that my female counterparts aren't going to be mad at me for this, but there's this misconception on the female end of rock and roll, whereas that everything is a struggle, and mm-hmm. it's going to be so hard for me to be a female in this business. You know what's hard? Going after your dream when there's no guarantee. You know,
yeah.
Like if you're trying to make a career out of something you love, that's hard no matter what gender. So for me, it's like the struggle isn't about being a female, and in all honesty, it's a very trivial, very small part, especially if you're doing it right now. Mm-hmm. If you want to be what the boys and I call tampon rock, whereas the entire show and everything, your career is riding on your looks and the fact that you are a female, mm-hmm. just to pretty up a band or something, then you might have a problem. But
yeah.
But if, you know, obviously if you're working every day, you know, play every day, don't give up, don't break up, and really don't worry about what anyone else thinks. You know, it's like,
yeah.
That's like the biggest thing.
Well, I think that's why people like you as a female, because you're not like the female that just pretties up the band. Although you do that, you are the badass bitch that writes lyrics about having 9-inch, you know, heels in bed and lips like blood and all that stuff. I mean, it's really, it's sexual, but it's also really badass. And on that sexual note, I just have to ask one question. You're in your band with your brother. Is it awkward to write songs like that and sing with him, like drumming behind you, when you know that like you're the sexy girl up front?
I think he's given up on listening to any of my lyrics. I do have a funny story for you, though, because he's very good at that. And he's like, really, I've had such a supportive brother. He's been following me down this crazy rabbit hole for 18 years now, you know, and you know, when obviously he could have gotten off the train anytime and gotten a real job. So he kind of like, he gives me a lot of creative freedom. Obviously he doesn't get upset, but there are the occasions depending on, you know, brothers and sisters get, you know, like if there's that certain day that he's annoyed with me. I remember this happened during the studio. We were literally recording Apocalyptic and he just then realized, because it was the line that says, give me a red handprint right across my ass.
Right.
And he stops the recording. He's like, oh, Lizzie, haven't we done this before? I thought we were done with this. I thought I get off was the last one, right? And I'm
like, nope.
I'm sorry. Just don't listen.
That's awesome. I love that song. Yeah, so. That's great.
Also, Lizzie, another thing that we talked about, and so here's the thing, you know, we work at the top rock station in Northern California in San Francisco. And so Chas and I really take a lot of pride as far as representing rock and keep putting it out there for our the listeners out here and kind of being that face locally out here. Yeah, thank you. But the thing is, so we always get real defensive about the state of rock on the mainstream level. And for example, case in point, most recently, you know, last month, MTV VMAs, we watched it, you know, because we have to keep track of pop culture and stuff. But we were a little disappointed in just as far as their coverage of rock music, because I believe
the lack thereof.
Lack thereof. They gave it, didn't they give it away on the pre-show?
On the pre-show, it wasn't even on the award show.
And even the bands nominated. I'm sorry, I know we're a little bit older than like their demographic. We get that, but it's like there's so many great rock bands out there. Even, you know, Billy Joe Armstrong, Green Day stood up for rock and was complaining. He tweeted out, "Hey MTV, there's so many great rock bands out there."
Yeah.
So I mean, for you guys at this point, do you even like focus on MTV VMAs or even try to strive to get to that? Or do you feel like since there's so many other great award shows that do a better job supporting rock, your focus is more on that?
You know, I don't necessarily know if we focus on anything anymore, but besides just what we have to do in front of us. But I agree with you, and I try to, you know, anytime that there is that moment where you kind of have an opportunity to speak up a little bit, I try to, and more or less just encourage, you know, MTV and you know, whatever's left of CH1 and any other, you know, outlet, because really they do have the power to change that. I understand state of the industry. Everyone's worried about their jobs. They're worried about taking risks. You know, what I don't understand is that rock and roll, like the people in that community, used to be the ones that took the risks. You know, said, you know what, let's do this weird, let's get this weird combination of bands out there. Let's get behind a band 100% and see if we can make them, because there was glory in that. They were like, you know what, nobody believes me, but I'm going to make this happen. And those were the people that helped, you know, the bands make it happen. And now it's like all the pop stars are the ones taking all the risks, ripping sick, you know. they're more rock stars than there is now. And so I don't know, man. It's hard to predict what's going to go on and what's going to happen. But my faith is that it's gotten so ridiculous to the point that, like, it's almost like we have leprosy, you know. It's like we can't even get near the front door, you know. Because, oh, no, like, are you wearing leather? No.
Yeah, I know, right? So, well, and you also have, like go ahead.
Oh, no, just the pendulum has swung so far one way that it's ridiculous that it's got to freaking come flipping back around, you know?
No kidding. Well, you have people like Diamond Dave, and look, I love Van Halen and I love him, but he was at one of the award shows talking about how he doesn't even listen to rock. He listens to dance and pop. So it's like, that was our one moment to have our representation at a video, at a music awards. And he kind of blew it for us. Yeah. I mean, it really disappointed me. I felt like he could stand up for us and he didn't. And he's one of our gigantic rock legends.
I know. Dave Grohl seems to do a good job at doing that every now and then.
Dave Grohl definitely does.
he's kind of an ambassador in between, because it's like, I think we need to encourage some younger acts to just honestly just stick your neck out there and, you know, be a little dangerous and represent, because, you know, make it exciting for kids and for people to come and see you and be like, wow, that guy's strange. I want to know more about that guy. 'Cause that's all, you know, the 80s were. I'm like, man, who's going to be locking themselves in a bathroom today? I don't know. Let's figure that out.
Well, yeah. Well, so Lizzie, on that point though, so from your perspective, you're successful and everything now. So for like advice for younger bands, up and coming bands. So for us, we go out and support as many local shows as we can. We interact with a lot of bands, and a lot of bands come to us asking for help, how to get more exposure.
What do they do?
What can they do? Yeah. I mean, Chas and I were just talking about this, was the old school formula of playing shows, get a record label, get airplay, sell a lot of albums, get some great tours. That's kind of different now with today's music world. That's obvious. But so do you have any advice for bands who really want to make it big? Is there anything that they can be doing right now to keep going?
Oh, absolutely. There's actually so much more that you can be doing, you know, besides, you know, the slow and steady route that we've done over the past 18 years. Because when we first started, it was like, there wasn't Twitter, there wasn't YouTube, yeah. anything. We, you know, we started this band in 97. So we actually like flyered, like, I know, like,
I love
flyer.
It.
Yeah.
A lot of the kids listening right now are like, what is that?
What's a flyer?
where you take a piece of paper and you literally staple it around because you have a gig that night. You know, but one thing that remains tried and true is playing in front of people as often as you can. Don't discriminate. No, don't not play a gig because it's not like the big venue in your area. I mean, our first shows ever for years were like coffee houses and happy hour at some bars and youth lock-ins. We did a bunch of mall gigs. We played a funeral once.
Oh, you know, my gosh. Like,
that was once. That was
being the key word.
That was a bummer of a gig. But honestly, a lot of things still remain true too. Whereas, so let me break it down. Number one, play anywhere and everywhere they let you play, you know, because it helps you develop. And things are different in front of people. Like, just because you're playing in your basement and you think it rocks, you're automatically going to get an idea of, instantly, an idea of who you are by just playing your stuff in front of other people. It's going to help you develop not only your stage presence, but also your writing is going to change. In that same note, play and write every single day. Just do it. Like it's a chore, even if you don't want to. Do it. I had a regiment when I was younger, I had a friend that had a local studio, and I basically said, you know, can I use a studio? And I'm going to write five songs, complete them by Tuesday, every Tuesday. So five songs a week, even if they suck, I'm going to complete them. And then we're going to come in, we're going to record them. And then I'm going to see what I got, you know? And that was, it was homework, you know?
Yeah.
And number three, very important. Don't be an asshole.
Love it. Yes, most importantly.
Well, because, you know, in all honesty, a lot of the bigger gigs that we got early on wasn't because we were good, for heaven's sake. You know, like, we're just, well, we're still not good. We you know, whatever, it's rock and roll. But it was because, you know, when the promoter has two bands, you know, in his pocket, you and some other band, you know, okay, well, I want to, you know, say, I don't know, Foo Fighters are coming into town and we need a local opener, whatever, you know, and, the, you know, the promoter's going to be like, okay, well, Hailstorm, they're really nice people. They don't trash the dressing room. Mm. They're not divas. Yeah. Or I could have this other local band that thinks they're freaking rock stars. Mm-hmm. And even though maybe they have a bigger following, I don't really want to deal with that today.
Nice.
So we would get those gigs because, honestly, you make friends and everybody talks, especially now because it's such a small industry. And you don't necessarily need a record label. We've been on Atlantic for 10 years, and they've been very good to us. And I'm glad we did it. But in all honesty, if we were just kind of coming up right now, you know, that wouldn't be necessarily a goal. Mm-hmm. You know, really, I mean, what you need to be focusing on is just yourself and doing everything you possibly can for yourself. And then if you know, a record label comes along and it's the right deal. Make sure you get lawyers involved. hell, take it. But you don't necessarily need that right now. There's so many different outlets. So, I don't know. And above all, drinking, have fun.
I like that.
If you're not having fun, this is not worth it.
Absolutely. All right, Lizzie, we know you got to go. I have one more quick question for you. I like to end all of my interviews with this question. My favorite movie of all time is Almost Famous. And in that movie, he asked the question, what do you love about music?
That is my favorite movie.
Oh,
as
I knew we were going to be best friends.
Anytime it comes on, we have to watch the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
And you should see the director's cut just in case.
I've seen it.
Yet.
Oh, yeah.
It's even more funny.
Yeah.
What do I like about music? What I like about music, and I won't give the movie answer, which is everything. because that is true. But for me personally, music has been so much more than just a career choice for me. This is my identity. This is my religion. It's my outlet for rebellion and therapy. It's I wouldn't be Lizzie Hale without it, you know? So for me, it's a life choice.
That's awesome. Great answer.
Well, Lizzie, thank you so much for making the time today. So just a reminder to all our listeners out there, go see Hailstorm coming to the Regency Ballroom Monday, October 19th. Get your tickets, theregencyballroom.com, AXS.com as well. And we're going to be there. We're looking forward to it.
We will be there front and center, sweetheart.
Also, hailstormrocks.com. Also, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Follow them all over the place and support the band. Go out and buy their music, everything. So, but thank you again for making the time today. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much for taking the time for me. You guys are awesome.
Awesome.
We love you, Lizzie.